Still in it? Okay. Thank you. Go
Okay.
ahead, Cheryl. You're on.
Hi, everyone. My name is Cheryl. I'm a compulsive overeater, food addict, and nighttime eater. Triple whammy. I'm from Central New Jersey. And thank you very much, Mikey, for inviting me to be here. I've been to this meeting before. I would say I know about half of you, and I'm happy to meet the rest of you. So I want to tell you a little bit about what I was like before program, what happened to me, and what I'm like now. And I'd like to start by reading today's reading from Voices of Recovery, July 13th. The first paragraph really describes what I was like before, and the second paragraph really describes more what I'm like now. So it says, once we compulsive overeaters truly take the third step, we cannot fail to recover. That's from the 12 and 12. Some mornings I awaken earlier than usual, my mind alive with frantic thoughts. The fear has returned. I will not get something that I want. Things will not turn out well. My life has been reduced to keeping my disease at bay. These are the products of my self-centered fear, negativity, anxiety, living in a future not yet formed with an ungrateful heart. I see only what my disease has taken from me, everything that I, quote, deserved. That was me before program. This paragraph is more like me now. I take my quiet time and begin to see new possibilities. I surrender the need to know how it will all turn out. I realize that I am getting well one day at a time. I am learning how to trust. We who have been deeply affected by this disease band together to teach each other how to live without resorting to compulsive overeating. I am exactly where I'm supposed to be. When I take my fear to God, He gives me the ability and the desire to see my life more clearly. My faith leads me to everything I need to surmount my difficulties. If I am open to receiving the gift, I trust that God will take care of me. Do I do that perfectly? No, but it's a far cry from that first paragraph where I came in. So a little about what I was like. My first meeting was January 8th, 1975, which is 51 and a half years ago, and I have never stopped coming to meetings. Have I been abstinent all that time? Absolutely not. Have I been working the steps and trying? Yes, I have. I have always worked with a sponsor, and I'm so grateful to all the people who have helped me along the way. So my first meeting, January 8th, I weighed at least 230 pounds. I'm not sure. It could have been higher than that. Today, I'm maintaining a 65-pound weight loss. At one point, it was 20 pounds more, but I wasn't ready to sustain that weight loss. And that would have been, it was too low. That weight for me was too low. So I'm not skinny, but I'm a normal weight, and I've come to accept myself the way I am. And I'm comfortable with my weight today. But I know that it can change in a second. All I have to do is pick up one bite. So that was what I was like when I came in. I want to tell you now that I'm not the person that I was when I came in. And I'm going to go through the physical changes, the emotional, and the spiritual. So physically, I told you I weighed 230 pounds. I binged. I was lethargic. I was undisciplined with my food. I was a big secret eater. I blamed my eating on probably my husband most of all because he didn't do what I want him to do. And if I would have been so happy if only people, places, and things were exactly the way I wanted them to be. And you know what? I did not see any fault. I took no responsibility myself. I don't know what that was. I think it was just part of the disease that I was in. I did get a food sponsor right away, and at those years it was Gray Sheet, and I tried to stay on Gray Sheet the best that I could. And at one point I had lost 88 pounds, but I wasn't ready for that. to sustain that goal. What I noticed about the weight loss, and then I actually was in, I would say I was in relapse for, I gained about 30 pounds back in relapse without leaving the rooms. I didn't even know that I was in relapse. I mean, that's how I convinced myself that what I was doing was okay. How do I work my food now? I still have a food sponsor. I have a food plan that works for me. What I discovered along the way, and unfortunately, it took me 18 years into the program. In January 1993, there were people who came back from eating disorder rehabs in Florida with this concept of food addiction, and I recognized myself right away. And they said that if I would give up flour and sugar, that I would stop craving them. I know I read the doctor's opinion before, but I never got it. I just didn't get it. You know, they say we're supposed to relate to the alcoholic in all the literature. I didn't get it. I didn't equate compulsive overeating with alcoholism, but I do equate food addiction with alcoholism. So the doctor's opinion is a very important chapter for me today. And what they said was, we'll stick with us, give up the flour and sugar. We'll get you through the detox because that's what it is. And when you get past that, it'll be easier. And that's exactly what happened to me in early 1993. I gave up the flour and sugar, and I still don't eat flour and sugar. I mean, there could be a little flour in some foods, but it's not. I know you don't want me to mention foods, and I won't, but you know what the hardcore flour and sugar foods are. So what my food is physically, I still commit my food to my food sponsor most days. And if I don't speak with my food sponsor, as soon as I wake up in the morning, I can tell you what my food plan is going to be. It's very similar day after day. My breakfast is always the same. My MA or my snack before I go to sleep is always the same. My lunch has a few options, and my dinner has a few options. So I can tell you any day in the morning what I'm going to eat for the rest of the day. And most days I write it down. For years I used an app. Now I just put it in my notebook, you know, what I'm going to eat for the day. And the other thing that I do that's a little unorthodox is I weigh myself every day. And the reason that I do that is that I used to use the scale as an excuse. Well, if I don't have to get on for 29 days, I could do whatever I want. And or the scale, I was so afraid to get on that I would binge the night before I would have to get on the scale. Now I know that the number on the scale is just a snapshot in time. It's just what my weight is for that day. I try not to equate it with my self-worth, which is very hard because I still do that sometimes. But you know what? If my weight is up, I can tell you why, because I know what I ate the day before and the day before. And so it's helping me to be more honest about my food and be more accountable and take responsibility for what I put in my mouth. I cannot blame my disease for what I put in my mouth. I come from there, but I don't do that anymore. So the other thing physically is I've tried to exercise better than I did before. Right now I'm doing physical therapy 2 times a week, and I'm sort of counting that as exercise, but it's really not. So I have one exercise class during the week, but I need to pick that up. So I'm committing to that today. So that's where I was physically, and by continuing coming to the meetings, doing the step work, working with a sponsor, this is how my physical program has evolved. Emotionally, I was definitely codependent. I could not be happy unless I got your approval, unless all the circumstances outside were what I thought it should be. I mean, I'm a smart person. So if it wasn't happening, if you didn't do what I want, there was something wrong with you. In fact, when I came into program, this is how long ago, there was a book out called I'm Okay, You're Okay. I don't know how many of you are familiar with that book, but I changed the name of it. I'm Okay, You're Not Okay. And I really believe that. And everything was black and white, and everything was a power struggle, and I had to be right or I was miserable. And what did I do with all of those feelings when I didn't get my way? I stuffed them. I ate over them. I once went to a therapist who says, "Well, when was the last time you were angry?" I couldn't give him an example of when I was angry. I didn't get angry. I just ate. It made me numb. It made me, it's, I guess ignorance is bliss. That's how I lived my life. I also tried to control people, places, and things. I was judgmental. I mean, everything that we're not supposed to do, that's who I was. I did a several fourth step inventories with doing the fifth step, the sixth step, the seventh step, the eighth, the ninth. And as a result of doing that, a lot of those character defects have been lifted from me. So now the way that I would describe myself is I go with the flow most times. I don't have to be right all the time. I learned how to ask for help. I'm not embarrassed if I got something wrong. And I choose to be happy. I don't know how many of you knew Peggy, but she was my sponsor for a very long time. And she would say to me, claim the joy of the day. No matter what's going on, claim the joy of the day. And then she would say, God wants me to be happy, joyous, and free. She also taught me, and this has a lot to do with my, I guess it's sort of emotional and spiritual, that God loves and accepts me just the way I am. And when I learn to accept myself just the way I am, that's when I will be in recovery. You know, because I beat myself up worse than any of you could ever beat myself up. And because of the step work, I choose not to beat myself up anymore. So if I make a bad judgment, I can own up to it today. It doesn't mean that I'm a bad person. It doesn't mean I have to go back to quote step one or day one. I don't do that to myself. I just go with the flow. I don't have to be right, and I choose to be happy. And then spiritually, I always believed in God, the God of my religion. I'm Jewish, but the only time I ever connected with that God, and it was superficial, when I would go to temple on the high holy days, it was just rote saying prayers and reading things. It didn't mean anything to me. I don't get my spirituality from my religion at all. I get my spirituality from step two, where it says to create a higher power that works for me. And I've done that. And I'll describe my higher power to you. My higher power is not out there where I thought it was. Like all those times I went to the bathroom, got down on my knees, and cried, "Oh God, help me. I've tried everything else and I don't know what to do." That was my spirituality before. What step two tells me is what I've learned to do in step two is create a higher power that lives within me, that has enough power to help me with anything that I could possibly need, that doesn't judge me, that teaches me. My higher power is my teacher. And if I learn the lessons well, then I can move on from them and God will help me move on from them. But if I have my head buried in the sand, if I'm into denial or defiance, my higher power will give me even more reason to, you know, he'll attract my attention with more pain. And the way for me to avoid pain is to learn those lessons. And those lessons come every day. It's not finished. I'm not finished. So I go to God and others for help these days. And I'm much more comfortable with, I do, readings and writings every morning. So I read from Voices of Recovery. I read from For Today, and then I read two other pieces of literature which are not OA approved, so I won't mention the names, but they all connect me with my higher power. Then I do a meditation slash prayer on what I've learned, and I also pray for a lot of people. And I just, the way I learned to pray, it's not for specifics. It's to give me, please God, give me the strength to be able to handle anything that you put in my way. That's what I pray for. The other thing that was a big problem for me was sleeping. I also believe that in addition to being a compulsive overeater, a food addict, I'm also a nighttime eater. And that's a bona fide disease because my nighttime eating and my compulsive overeating are connected. I've always had trouble falling asleep and staying asleep from, oh, even before I had my kids. And certainly when I had my kids, I was listening for them. Then, there were hormonal changes. My husband was sick for many years and I was listening for him. Thank you, Mikey. I'm almost done. And what did I do? I tried to sedate myself with food. There are a lot of stories in the big book where the subject of the story talks about using alcohol as a sedative. Well, I used food as a sedative because I was trying to knock myself out because I could not fall asleep. I couldn't turn off my brain. I've come a long way with that. During COVID, there was when I was going to a Florida meeting, there was a woman who talked about night eaters meetings, and I started to go on Tuesday and Thursday nights. The Tuesday night meeting is still around, and I go every Tuesday night. It turns out that it's a very small meeting at this time, but people feel free to talk about their problems with related to sleep and food. So that's good for me. And I still use a couple of crutches to get through the night, but for the last several years, I have not eaten at night, so I'm very grateful for that. So I feel good about myself today. My self-worth has really come a long way. I have gratitude for so much in my life, and especially for the people in these rooms who have helped me. And I just like to finish this by reading one more reading. This is May 6th from Voices of Recovery, which says, abstinence means freedom from the bondage of compulsive eating. And it's from the OA book. This statement is a profound revelation to me. It helps me remember when my disease wants me to forget that overeating enslaved me for nearly 4 decades before I came to OA. Hearing these words early in recovery gave me a positive perspective when I felt deprived by abstinence or different from other people. Through 10 years of abstinence, my appreciation of freedom from bondage has deepened physically, emotionally, and spiritually. I cherish the precious independence OA has given me. Freedom to look in the mirror and like what I see. I sure didn't before. Freedom to purchase clothes I want, not just clothes that fit. If something fit me, I would buy 6 pairs of them because I never knew I would find something else that would fit me again. Freedom to move my body in ways that morbid obesity prevented. And I am a physical person and I can exercise. And in my adult community now, I am exercising with people 20 years younger than me. And I can do it. And I'm grateful for that. Freedom to know all my feelings and to feel them fully. Do I like to feel my feelings? Not necessarily. What I like is the clarity. That I know what it is and that feelings will pass, and I have help to deal with my feelings. Freedom to become a life-managing adult. Before this, I was a brat that pouted if I didn't get my way. Freedom to connect with my loving higher power, who will always be there for me, and I'm so grateful. So thanks for letting me share my story.